Now, as we continue today's theme on building a caring society, focusing on mental health amongst children and youth, it is time for our first interview. And joining me on the show, I have Sis Dr. Nezi Swatiti from the Children's Institute at the University of Cape Town. Sis Nezi holds a PhD in psychology. She serves in civil and academic societies that focus on protecting children and developing an appropriate ways of doing research and about children in South Africa and internationally. Her research focuses on sexual violence, trauma, and the development of mental health interventions for children and young people in Africa through listening to children's voices. Hello, Sis. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you, Talita.
I'm good, thank you. Sister, can you just please tell us more about yourself?
Okay, I'm a researcher at the Children's Institute. I started working there in 2020. Outside of being a researcher and doing work, I'm also a child to two parents. My father had passed away in 2016, I think, if I'm not mistaken, yes. And my family is in the Eastern Cape. My mother is still alive, though, and I've got a brother. I go to church, I serve in church, and I do other things as like the ones which we have mentioned. I find out mentally, I am usisi to so many children, and I'm umakazi to all of the children in South Africa and the world.
You'll be my umakazi also from now on.
No problem.
Sisi, what got you interested in your research topic?
Okay, very good question. I did my master's at a university in Cape Town, not UCT, but a university in Cape Town, okay? And when I was in my third year, I discovered that the things that they were writing about black young women were not things that I know. So I did not agree with that. I then decided that I am going to do work that is going to tell the actual story about how black young women are, what they believe in, and just to make sure that we are represented in the actual ways which we are. Then fast forward 10 years later, I then embarked on a PhD, and my PhD then did research to understand the experiences of young children, black children, to understand them in context, meaning to understand them in the actual ways which they are, based on how they understand themselves, right, to represent themselves. And that is what got me interested. And then I needed a way to be able to understand them. And then sexual violence, which is a major issue in South Africa, became the way in which I could start to understand that and to find a method to get the stories. So I then asked children about their life stories, and I began to hear them in context, where they live, how they speak, you know, the language that they use, etc. So that's what's got me interested in this work I'm doing.
Sisi, you just spoke about a topic that I really am all about, which is violence, just in general, but now you spoke about sexual violence. And I want to know, how do children deal with the trauma of sexual violence?
Okay. So sexual violence is a big issue, right? A lot of children are exposed to it, and a lot of children experience it, right? There is this notion, or this myth, I will say, that children don't speak when they are violated. That's not true. Children do speak, right? But children are not believed, right? And children are then made to feel ashamed for that. But children in my work, you know, understand that that action is not theirs, right? When they speak, they say this thing that that person did to me. So they know that it's not them. But society, meaning families, schools, churches, and not just churches, religious institutions in their entirety, you know, silence children. They make it as though children are the ones who are in the wrong when they are not. So the ways in which children then deal with it is that at times they feel ashamed and they feel embarrassed, right? At times they then develop the sense that authorities will blame them and silence them, so they don't trust them, right? And then also, then children sometimes, because families are part of a community and communities are part of the society, all of these structures, then all of these areas and places, people and things, right, then work together to then make the children believe that it is the child's fault. But children are brave. They tell their friends, right? Children are brave. They tell their teachers. Children are brave. They tell their next-door neighbors and their mothers and their aunts and everybody around them, right? But the only problem is, it is the family members, it is the community and society, right, that don't want children to speak.
Sissy, how do you ensure that children are adequately involved in your research?
So my research, right, focuses on developing interventions, right, for children, right? And I believe that if we do not understand children, then we will not be able to help children, right? And will not understand children if we do not speak with children. So my research always seeks to get the child's perspective. So I interview children. I ask children to tell me their stories. I ask children to tell me their opinions. And I use that then to inform what I know about a subject.
So that's where you get, okay, the experiences.
No. Finish.
That's where you get the experiences of children and get to do your report on what you got the conclusion of. What type of mental health support do you hope to see for children and young people in Africa in the future?
Okay, great. Yo, you are so clever, your questions. So, number one, mental health support for children needs to support children from the time that children are conceived, right? Because a child is not only part of a family when they are born. A child is part of a family when they are still in their mother's womb, right? Because what happens to a mother when she is pregnant affects the child even then, from that time. So mental health support for children must start when the mother is still pregnant and expecting the baby, okay? Then, from the time that a child is then born, right, up until the child stops being a child. And I don't know when children stop being children, because it's not 18. When you're 18, you're still a baby, right?
Well, that's what my mom tells me every time.
I'm glad, and I agree with her. So we still need to support children up until they are much older than 18. Okay, so now a child needs that support. But the support then that we need to give children, because children are part of families and communities and society, we need to look at the child as part of that system. So we have to support families as well to be able to assist children and help children. We need to support communities, your schools and your organizations in the Gorolo community. Then we need to support society, meaning that we have to look at the environment in which the child lives to be able to support that child, right? So the environment is important. The life course of a child is important. And what I mean by life course is developmentally, because a child of a particular age needs particular kinds of assistance, right? So we have to ensure that whatever support we give is in line with the age and the development of that child. In some societies and cultures like mine, age is not something that is important. The stage is what's important, meaning where that child is at in life, meaning are they now at a time where they are in puberty, right? And children get there faster than others or slower than others. But which is why I'm saying that that in some cultures it isn't about age, it's about where that child is at in life. Another example, all right, so we can make other examples like ulwaluko. So a child will then need a different kinds of assistance based on that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the life course, mm-hmm. right? And a child who is 16 has got different needs to a child who is 12 and 5. So the life course approach then looks at that. It's important for mental health. We need to look at the life course of the child. We also need to look at the culture of the child. What does the culture say about, you know, what a child needs, right? Because which means that we cannot help children from different places, right, and beliefs in the same way. So we need to understand where children come from and who is in their lives, right, and what's available to them. Okay?
Yes.
The other thing is the child's environment, right? So in a place like South Africa, that's very important, okay? Because some children live in better areas than others, you know, in terms of the geography, number one, in terms of their exposure to violence. And violence is a major cause for child trauma, socially speaking. So we need to understand that as well. What is happening in the communities that children live and then develop interventions that will respond to that. But also we need to think about how to ensure that we don't reach a state, right, where the mental health of children is jeopardized in the first place, meaning that we need to think about how to prevent the violence that's going to cause the trauma in children and thereby affect the mental health of children negatively.
That was very informative. Is there anything else you would like to add?
I would like to say that I enjoyed being interviewed by you. And I wonder if, you know, you had other questions that mean something to you that you think the children would like to know.
Not that I can think of at the moment, no.
Good, then I'm good.
Thank you so much for joining.
You are listening to RX Radio.
For and by children.
RX Radio. RX Radio rocks.